Hello and welcome to Lit, a podcast for combating burnout. I'm your host, Kate Newberg, and this is episode 7 called Foresight is 2020. It's all about visions, and it's the second installment of our empowerment series that's taking place in May. So before we jump in, I have a quick note. If you ever want to get in touch with me, if you have questions about burnout or questions about things that I'm talking about, you can email me at kate@deeppractices.com. I had someone email me this week, actually, and she was asking about my blog. So something you might want to keep an eye out for is her request was for me to record audio of the articles that I publish on my website. So keep an eye out for that. There'll be some bonus audio, if you will, coming out that are going to be just the audio versions of me reading my articles. And that's great if you don't have time to sit down and read. I know reading takes you to be dedicated to a specific time and to dedicating your attention to it versus listening. You can be on a run in your car. And I thought that was an awesome idea. So there'll be some bonus audio coming out of the articles that I publish on my website. And that is www.deeppractices.com if you're interested. Okay, let's jump in. Today we are talking about visions, setting visions for your life. Last week we talked about worthiness and building a sense of self-worth. And that, in a lot of ways, is the foundation for setting true visions for your life. Because we want to make sure that you're setting visions that are worthy of your talents and of your skills and of your proclivities and of your desires. And so today we're going to talk about what it means to set a vision, give a couple of practical tips on how to set visions and what a good vision might feel like as you're setting it. And I want to jump into just a really brief history of visions. There's a lot of precedent in our culture for this, and I'm sure there's ancient precedent in other cultures, but just a couple of books I've been reading recently kind of run a gamut. The first one I was thinking about was by this woman, Evelyn Underhill, and the book is called Practical Mysticism, and it was published in Great Britain immediately before the First World War. So it's got this really, if you know, like the stratified approach that Britain had to their society and their politics, and it had this like very interesting tone, because she's talking about mysticism and practical mysticism. She's talking about it in this very like the British vernacular, which is really interesting. All the way up to the opposite end of the spectrum, I've also been reading like the Jen Sincero books, You Are a Badass, which also talk about vision setting. So it's a perennial thing that comes up in our culture. And I want to talk today about kind of the background of it and how you can do it for yourself. So the precedent for this, kind of the underlying assumption for this, is that human beings are born creators. It's something I've mentioned before, and it's something I truly believe. We are designed to create stuff, and it doesn't have to be good. It doesn't have to be even related to your work. It doesn't have to be perfect. You see even just little kids with finger paintings, like there's a natural urge within us to create. And the vision, in a lot of ways, is giving form to that urge, to that inner divine urge of creation. And something that I truly believe, that might sound a little out there, but trust me, I'm gonna go into it. But it's that our thoughts are kind of this bridge between what is unmanifested and what is manifested in the world. So human beings themselves are kind of this bridge, and we have this, we are a manifested form, and our thoughts come from the same substance that created the universe itself, which is really powerful. And our thoughts are this bridge. It's like when you think about you think about something, and if even something really simple, like in some ways, if you look at your calendar right now and you see the different delineations in your calendar for, oh, I have to, or I'm going to go meet with so-and-so for lunch this day. Like, that's a mini vision that you're setting, and you're going to go manifest that, right? That's something you're thinking about in the future. And when everything aligns and you do that, you've manifested, and it seems really simple. It's something we do every day. But that had to occur in a certain order. You had to have the thought, you had to reach out, you had to make the plans. You had to envision where you were going to go. And then you probably have in your mind this idea of what's going to happen while you're there, and what they're going to look like, and what the place is going to look like, and how it's going to feel. And all of this is just a very mini version of setting a vision. So the thoughts are this. So the big thrust for this first part is that our thoughts are incredibly powerful, and they create, they're kind of this in-between bridge between what is unmanifested, the power of the unmanifested, the things that don't exist yet, and what we can bring into the world. And our thoughts are kind of the first step for that. So going back a teeny bit to last week when we talked about meditating on worthiness, and you've hopefully been digging into some of your thought patterns. If your thought patterns are not, if your thought patterns are not on the level that you want to be operating on, so if your thought patterns are, they can be negative, or they can be holding you back, or they can be full of "I can't," "I wouldn't," other people do that, that kind of thing. Those are really powerful, and that's what you're manifesting. So it's extremely important, which is why we started with that idea of worthiness. It's extremely important to begin upgrading your thoughts around things that you want to manifest in your life. So hopefully for the past week or so, you've been meditating on this idea of worthiness. You've been diving into your thought patterns. And this week, we're going to talk about how to set a vision that's worthy of you. So one thing you want to make sure when you're setting a vision is that there's a lot of energy and emotion behind it. You want to feel something when you think of your vision. Like, you want to feel, you want it to kind of open your heart in a way that's like, oh, yes, yes, that's exactly what I want. I'm so excited about that. I'm grateful for that. I'm joyful when I think of that. That's the catalytic energy for getting you to move toward that vision. And so while you're thinking about it, think about, like, is there energy and emotion behind this? And is it something I believe I can do? You know, is it something I truly believe in? That it's not, if you set a vision that's beyond or so outside of what you actually believe is possible to begin with, it should be a stretch, but it doesn't have to be so far out there. Like, I wouldn't, as an example, this is silly, but I wouldn't set a vision to be an astronaut at this point in my life. If I set the vision and I had the energy behind it and I love the idea, I probably would go for it and something would happen from that. But right now, like, that's not something that lights me up. That's not something, it doesn't seem believable, and it doesn't really seem, it doesn't really activate me in the way it needs to. So make sure that your vision is something that really is a picture of the thing that you really want to have happen in your life. I have a couple concrete examples of this. I was actually kind of playing, and I think a lot of us do this without really knowing it. I was kind of playing with visions before I even knew what it was. And it happened, the first time I can really think of it happening was when I live in the mountains in Colorado, and I'd lived here for a year, and I knew I loved the place, and I wanted to buy a house here. And I had this idea that I wanted it to have a fireplace, and I wanted it to be on a river. And now, full disclosure, I was working for a school district, and we all know that for the most part, jobs in education don't pay a lot of money, like not in the scheme of things. And so I had this big ambition to have a place with these characteristics on, you know, kind of a teacher's salary. And, but that didn't stop me. I said, you know, that is my ideal. And I wasn't thinking like, I have to have a place like this, but I was thinking, oh, that's my ideal home for one that I'm going to buy. I want it to have a fireplace, and I want it to have a view of the river. I'd love for it to be on the river. The idea of having the noise of the river in the background is just, it just fills me full of all of those great emotions I was talking about. And I looked at houses, and I looked at places that were in my price range, and I had this assumption that it would have to be somewhere like in more of the up and coming part of town, this kind of distant from everything, because I thought that's the only place I could afford. And I actually put offers in on a few places, and they both fell through. And I remember being really upset by that. But the places were not, they were compromises. They weren't on the river. They didn't have fireplaces, that kind of thing. And I remember, you know, thinking, oh, this is good enough. This is good enough. And then one day this little studio apartment popped up, and it was a little place, and I'd been living in studios for years. And I thought, oh gosh, that place looks, I just felt when I saw it, I felt like, I think this might be it. And I, you know, long story short, I got in. The second I walked in, I felt like, oh, that this place feels like home. And it was this little, like 400 and something square foot apartment. It was kind of old. It needed a lot of work, but lo and behold, there was a fireplace. And when you walk out on the deck, you have a view of the river going by. And it was somehow right in my price range. And I thought, oh my gosh, this place feels like home. And it's a much longer story, but just to cut to the chase, I'm sitting in that apartment right now, 2 years later, and lit a fire this morning because it's still cold in the mountains in springtime, and I can hear the river rushing by outside. And this was before I'd started meditating. This was before I'd gotten into all of this, the kind of the assumptions and the precedent behind all of this, the spiritual teachings, all of that. I had no idea what I was doing. All I knew was that I wanted a place with the fireplace and on the river. And then it happened for me. And I'm still in awe of that every single day when I wake up in this place. So that's to say that if you think about it, that story was really kind of a discussion on, you've probably done this already. You probably do this. Maybe you do it consciously. Maybe you do it without realizing you're doing it, but we set visions all the time. And there's even, like I was saying, like your calendar is mini visions. Like there's little visions that I think are kind of miracles. Like if I'm sitting here and I say, oh, I want stir fry for dinner. And then suddenly like the day kind of aligns for that. It's like, oh, well, I guess I'll go to the grocery store. I'll pick up the stuff, or maybe I'll get it from takeout or whatever. But it happens first as a thought. And then even though it seems like the most common everyday thing, suddenly you're manifesting that thought if you want to. What happens when you don't have a vision? I have an example. One of my friends is a really good friend of mine is, he does the online dating thing. And over the course of the past few years, he has literally been on hundreds of dates using these online dating apps. And he's gotten into a few relationships. They haven't lasted very long. He knows he wants a relationship, like a long-term relationship. And I finally was talking to him about it. And I said, you know what? He was on one of the dating apps. And I said, you know, what are you actually looking for in a woman? Like, what are the qualities you're looking for in a woman? And he looked up at me and he said, you know what? I have never thought about that before. And in some ways, like, as I'm telling the story, it seems kind of crazy, right? That you would be, that something would be so important to you, but you wouldn't have sat down and thought, well, what do I want out of this? But I think it's really common. I think it's really common for people in their work, in their personal lives, in every part of their lives, to just kind of live in a state of almost reaction with, and there's something underlying, right? Like you go on dates and maybe that you'd be like, oh, she's not really what I'm looking for. But he never really defined exactly what it is he is looking for, in a way that made it easier to kind of align his life in a way that would support and drive toward that vision. So what happened was he would go on lots of dates and think like, oh, well, you know, this seems like maybe it's promising or not promising or what, but he didn't have like a North Star or anything that was actually guiding his decision-making in a way that would made it all really clear. What happens when you set a vision is that suddenly you begin to consciously and unconsciously align your life in a way that drives toward that vision. And suddenly the decisions you make are measured on, is this taking me forward toward what I had set as what I want? Or is it driving me away from it? Or is it getting in the way? And suddenly your life feels a lot clearer and a lot more streamlined. And then the other part of it is that when you set your vision, you can set it, you can have emotion behind it, you create details around it, and then you kind of have to let go and allow it to arrive in a package you might not expect. Like the whole time I was looking for this apartment, what ended up being this apartment, I was thinking it was going to be a small house 40 miles away from here in a place that was kind of more of an up and coming part of the community that I live in. I thought it might be like a trailer home. I thought it might be, I had no idea. I was pretty sure though that I knew that the place and the form would be somewhere in something other than what it ended up being. And so the same thing goes for a partnership. Like if you sit down and you write out all of the qualities, and I've had this happen to so many people and to me too. You sit down and you write out all the qualities. You finally set a vision for the person, let's say you're looking for a life partner or a relationship or something, and you sit down and you write all of the qualities and characteristics you're looking for, and you're specific and you're thorough and you think of everything and you write it down and you think about it and you meditate on it. And then they show up and you think, oh, that can't be the person. That's not the package I was expecting. That's not the person I was. Yeah. But it's going to show up in a way you just don't expect. And I've had this happen to so many of my friends when they finally did this, and they would say like, I didn't see it coming. You know, I didn't see that person would be the person. And that's very, very common. That's very common for you to set a vision, and then you got to just let go of how it's going to come into your life and what it's really going to look and feel like. Because if you get too caught up in forcing it to be the exact thing, there's going to be some assumptions you have that are wrong in your head that are not actually what the vision is going to manifest as. And if you get too caught up in some of those, you might miss it when it comes up. So both set the vision and be very specific, but then be really open to how it comes into your life. I suggest something that worked really well for me was you can set a vision for any aspect of your life or for every aspect of your life. Things that work really well are if you think about you know, something that worked for me when I first started this work was thinking about what kind of emotional state do I want to be in every day? And having that be kind of the starting point. And I said, well, if I want to be in a state of serenity or peace every day, what does that look like? You know, how can I make that happen? And from that as a foundation, if we're setting the, let's say, a vision of worthiness or something like what we started with last week, that's going to be the foundation for everything else, for all the other visions you manifest. You can set it for your mind. Like I remember saying, oh, I want an uncluttered mind, and meditation really helped with that. For my, you know, for the physical body, I remember thinking, I want to be rested, nourished, and strong in my physical body. And so suddenly, like the things in my life that I would examine them through that lens. And suddenly, you know, going out and drinking a few beers at the brewery, I would think, well, is that going to lead to me being rested, nourished, and strong? Well, not really. So that's something that really kind of I phased out of my life as I was setting these visions. In a state of peace, you know, I was thinking, if I want to maintain peace, well, am I going to go to places or do the things that really get me out of that state? And it's not to say that I can't be flexible, but to say like, oh, I really need to guard my energy around this. And I really need to guard my mind state around this. And if going to a loud concert where, everybody is, you know, it's just, if something like that isn't, even if all my friends are doing it, and I know that that's going to kind of take me out of this state of peace because it's not really something that I gravitate toward, I can say, you know, that sounds great. I'll meet up with you guys tomorrow. You know, that kind of thing. So it's just, you begin to slowly, consciously and unconsciously align your decisions and your actions around what this vision is for your life. And then suddenly details become really important. When I think about, let's say, a leader wants to align their business around a value of community. And that's something they're really dedicated to doing. And they want all of their routines and procedures and cultural, workplace culture to reflect community. Suddenly all these details become really important. And maybe just after years of being a leader of this company, they walk by the company break room and they look in and they see that it's, you know, there's maybe a couple of chairs and it's really not a pleasant, like maybe there's a light bulb, you know, it's like there's, you know, those break rooms where there's like the bright fluorescent lights that make it really unpleasant to be in. And they think, you know what, this isn't really fostering, a sense of community. This, like the break room, we need to redo this because I can't ignore this anymore. I can't look at this and say, oh, you know, it just is what it is. You look at it through that lens of community and you say, no, this has to change. Like, this is not fostering, this is not upholding these values that I said I wanted to stand by as a leader. And so suddenly things start changing. And that's the other thing about setting a vision that you're really excited about and that really lights you up is that your life is going to change. And it might be really scary in some ways. It might really get you out of your comfort zone. And but as humans, we thrive on that kind of thing. We thrive on challenge. And we'll endure those challenges in a meaningful way if we know we're working towards something that is really meaningful to us. My quick example, I know I've talked a little bit about my vision for my apartment, but an even larger vision that I've worked toward was creating my vision right now that I truly believe is possible, is that I want to make our places of work. I believe that our places of work as a culture in this country can be aligned with a higher state of human consciousness, that we can evolve into having our workplaces be kind of even just a little bit what I hinted at with that leader who looks at their break room and thinks, is that to have our cultures as businesses, as organizations, as industries be ordered around upholding values as opposed to generating outcomes. Because the obsessive focus on generating outcomes is killing us, literally our earth, and then also as a spiritual crisis in the country. And I'll go more into this in the future, but the work that I do is helping organizations and industries and companies and nonprofits reorganize around this idea of upholding values instead of generating outcomes. And I can go into this. There are a lot of things. It does, you know, people worry, oh, is this going to ruin productivity? Is this? No. It actually heightens productivity. It makes everybody happier. It creates employee retention. It's amazing. But it's scary. Again, it's scary. And just because it's different and we don't have any, when you're stepping out into something new like that, and maybe you're reordering your whole business, you don't have any, certainty that it's going to work out exactly the way you think it is. Because, like we said about vision, sometimes they come up in ways that you wouldn't expect. But then going back to when I set that vision for helping, create companies that are aligned with higher states of human consciousness, when I set that vision and I set the vision of the impact I wanted to make on the world, I looked around at what my current situation was back then. And I said, oh, see, this isn't going to cut it. This isn't aligned with my vision. And I made some moves that were extremely out of my comfort zone. I left a job that was kind of shifting under me toward in the opposite direction of the impact I wanted to make. And I just said, I'm going all in on this because this is the vision that this is the impact I want to make on the world. And I can do this and I'm not able to do it here in this way. Something has to change. And so, that's just a very quick example because we're almost out of time. That's just a very quick example of how setting a vision is going to wake you up in ways that you otherwise wouldn't. And sometimes it will get you out of your comfort zone. I mean, once you set a vision for your partner, you have to start saying no to the people who don't meet that vision. You know, and that can be really scary, especially if someone seems like someone you maybe would have gone for before you set your vision. And you think, no, well, I just know. And now I have a North Star to compare to. And saying no can be really scary. So just a quick recap of everything we talked about, that we are, as human beings, able to create what we want in this world. And our thoughts are this bridge between the unmanifested and the manifested, and they're incredibly powerful. And so think about over the next week what you want to accomplish in your life, what kind of impact you want to make, what kinds of things light you up, make you excited, bring you joy, and start thinking about that. Think about it when you wake up. Think about it when you're in your car. Think about it while you're doing the dishes. Think about it while you're walking your dog. And you'll be surprised and excited at how it starts to manifest in your life. Okay, this has been episode 7, installment 2 of the Empowerment Series. Foresight is 2020. Thank you so much for tuning in. Tune in next week for our 3rd installment of the Empowerment Series, which is going to be about conflict. Looking forward to talking to you then.